So we'll open with a piece from the Haggadah Shul Pesach. Ve'yotzer Hashem Mitzrayim, lo yedei malach, lo yedei seraf, lo yedei shaliach, ha'koshru bechvodu ba'atzmo. And it starts darshim from the psukim from Makos Rav, right? Va'avarte Mitzrayim, nivlo malach, v'kes kol b'char, nivlo seraf, cholei Mitzrayim se'shvatim, ani, v'lo ha'shaliach, ani Hashem, ani hu, v'lo acher. So, first of all, we have to know why that was necessary. It would be so terrible if HaKadosh would send a malach and take us out of Mitzrayim. Why did it have to be HaKadosh bechvodo uba'atzmo? So, you know, what's the message in that? But not only that, the bigger question is that it contradicts a black and white pasuk in Chumash. It says Moshe Rabbeinu is, it's 40 years later.
I have the timer.
Yeah. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Edom. So Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Edom and asking to cross through their land. It's in Parshas Chukas. So he tells them the story in brief, you know, what they've been through. We went, our forefathers went down to Mitzrayim. We sat in Mitzrayim for many days, and the Mitzrayim were very bad to us and to our forefathers. We called out to Hashem. He heard our voice. He sent a malach. He sent an angel and took us out of Mitzrayim. Now we're now opposite you, you know, on our way to the promised land. Let us go through your land. And you know, the end of the story is that Edom refused and they had to circumvent them. Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu is Vayishlach Malach Ve'otzeinu Mitzrayim. Seemingly in direct contradiction to what it says in the Haggadah, that it was Lo Yedei Malach, Rak HaKadosh Bechvodo Ba'atzmo. How are we going to reconcile this contradiction? Okay. So once we're speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's a very interesting Rambam. Dafka, this Rambam is not in anything, not in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, where he talks about Pesach. This Rambam is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. In the very first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it's excellent reading. It's a very good read. Everyone should read it. It's the whole story of Avram Avinu, you know, how people fell into Avodah Zarah, how Avram Avinu saw through the sham, and how Avram Avinu passed on the message to his descendants. So as the Rambam is ending off this perek, right? So yeah, Yitzhak taught the message to Yaakov, and Yaakov appointed Levi a Rosh Hashiva, right, to teach, you know, the message. So now this thing, you know, this message got stronger as the Bnei Yaakov started expanding, and there became a nation that knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, days passed, longer in Mitzrayim. But the Jews in Egypt started learning from the Egyptians and started to regress back to idol worship. Like just like the Egyptian, except for Shevet Levi that kept the faith. The Rambam is saying, these emphatically, Shevet Levi never served Avodah Zarah ever. And the principles that Avraham Avinu instilled in us seem to be in danger of being uprooted. And the descendants of Yaakov would now go back to the mistake of the nations of the world and be idol worshippers. But because Hashem loved us, and also to uphold the shvu he made to Avraham Avinu by Bris Ben Absarim about redeeming us, so out of his love of us and upholding the shvu to Avraham, Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shokol Neviim Ushlacho, he made Moshe Rabbeinu the master prophet, the greatest prophet of all, and sent him to Mitzrayim. Kevan Shidisna Ben Moshe Rabbeinu. Once Moshe Rabbeinu became this prophet, and Hashem chose Am Yisrael for his inheritance, to be his chosen nation, and then we were crowned with mitzvahs, meaning on Shavuos, and we were also informed of how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And amongst the things that we were commanded is all the Isurim of Avodah Zarah, and this is his introduction to Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So the interesting thing to take notice over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu the master prophet, the greatest prophet, to send him to Mitzrayim. Now, you would have thought he has to be the greatest prophet of all time for the purpose of bringing down the Torah. For a dual reason. First and foremost, only the master prophet is on the level of the Torah, right? He has to be on that level of, to get God's knowledge, to be speaking to God one-on-one. But also for a pragmatic reason that the Rambam points out, in order that Moshe Rabbeinu should not be able to ever be contradicted by any other prophet, right? So we say, listen, he was on a unique level that no one could compete with. So pragmatically, if you want the Torah to go uncontested, you have to set up that Moshe Rabbeinu is a prophet on a level onto his own that no one could argue with. Right? And otherwise, you could be sure that other people will claim to get alternate prophecies, like the Muslims. And Muhammad, Moshe Rabbeinu's stuff was distorted and this is the real deal. Right? But so you would have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu's level of being master prophet is necessary for Matan Torah, for these two reasons. But the Rambam over here is saying it was necessary to get us out of Mitzrayim. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to be the master prophet? Rabban Shon Levim Ushlacho, and he sent him to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Why is that necessary? You think he just has to be the master prophet for the function of giving up the Torah. Okay, so there's a very interesting Rashi in Parshas Bo. After the, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is introducing the laws of the Korban Pesach, prior to Makas Bechoros, because we're supposed to do a Korban Pesach that night and put the blood on the mashko for Shtei Mezuzas on the top of the door and the two doorposts. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing all the laws of the Korban Pesach to Moshe. So it says, V'achalzazo b'chipazon eat it hurriedly. Pesach hu l'Hashem. It is a Pesach for Hashem, says Rashi. Right? Ha'korban hu kori Pesach. Right? The korban was called Pesach. Al shem ha'diluk v'apsik, because God skipped. Right? Shachoshu medag abate Yisrael miben bate Mitzrayim. He was jumping over the houses of the Jews, from as he was going from house of Egyptian to house of Egyptian. Because mitzvah, we saw him, Nimblad jumped from mitzvah to mitzvah, and the Jew in the middle got saved. And Rashi ends off in the name of Chazal, something very, sounds nice, but it questions what it means. Va'atem, so now you also, the Jewish people, asu kol avodosav l'shem shamayim, do everything that you do to serve Hashem. L'shem shamayim, do it for the sake of heaven. Derech diluk v'kfitza, also in a jumping type of way. Right? Zechel l'shmo shekor Pesach. Right? And that's also, to also commemorate and show recognition for the Pesach. Right? So also we should do whatever we do for Hashem. Right? L'shem shamayim. And that's called derech diluk v'kfitza. It's called jumping. Why is it called jumping? Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's jumping, to save you. He jumps over your houses as the Mashkes goes across Mitzrayim, jumps from over the Jew in the middle, which is also, after understanding why that was necessary, why can't you just go around? Why does he have to jump? Right? But we'll discuss that. But what bothers me more is understanding the Ketirah, and you guys also, so you do all your Avodas Hashem L'Shem Shamayim, serve him for the sake of heaven. Derech diluk v'kfitza. Why is serving l'shem shemayim called derech diluk v'kfitza? Why is that called? He jumped over you, so now you jump for him, and you do everything l'shem shemayim. Sounds nice, but the question is, what does it mean? So I know we spoke about this in previous years. We'll just take it from another angle. What's brought down from the Zohar? That's fully developed by the Arizal, right? The idea that Pesach is a hybrid word. It's Pesach, the mouth speaks. That before Yitzias Mitzrayim, not only were we in Golus, but in the words of the Ari, explaining the Zohar, Dibur, the power of speech itself, was in Golus, That's what it says, right? You know, and so there's a liberation of the power of speech, and that's why, you know, there we have the mitzvah of Sipur, Yitzias Mitzrayim, just talk about it, V'chol Marbel Lesaper, Harei Zem Meshubach, talk, because it's really the liberation of the power of speech. Now, what does that mean? You know, people were, no one was a mute, you know, before Yitzias Mitzrayim was talking, you know, 2,500 years of world history of people just talking plenty. So what does that mean? You know, the dibur, even the power of speech itself, was in golus. All right, to understand all of this, right, to understand what changed, and we'll also understand, appreciation of what it says in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he's contrasting, you know, what there was with the Avos as opposed to what's going to be from here on in. Right? He says, Va'el Avram v'itzok v'yakov bekel shakai u'shmi havaya lo nodatim. I appear to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the divine name Kel Shakai. Right? But my name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, I did not make known to them. So Rashi explains over there, of course they knew the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. I could show you in Bereshis that they address God with that name. So it means, as Rashi explains, I didn't display, you know, that mode of conduct that corresponds to that name. I only displayed the mode of conduct. So they knew the name, but they never witnessed, you know, the way I act based on that name, which is called my real way of acting. They only saw Kel Shakai because I made promises and I didn't deliver in their lifetime. Right, no, so it says they knew the name. So Rashi himself says they knew Lo nodati lo ne'amar. It's not that was unknown. It doesn't say. It said Lo hoda. I didn't show them. Meaning they knew the name, but they never saw the what God does to correspond to that name. You know, for which He is called the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's what's changing now with the Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu will, as it were, deliver, not just promise, but He will deliver. And we'll explain more what changed. Right. You know, the most outstanding, greatest theologian before Avraham Avinu was Shem ben Noach, right? Who was Malki Tzedek, right? He was the king of Shalem. So Avraham Avinu had an encounter, probably had more than one encounter, but he had a particularly meaningful encounter with him when he liberated stone. Right? So it says, you know, that Malki Tzedek brought out lechem v'yayin. He brought out, you know, bread and wine. V'hu kohen lekel elyon. And Malki Tzedek is a kohen to the God above. The God above. Right? And then he says, Baruch Avram lekel elyon konei Shamayim v'aretz, blesses Avram Tekelam, who owns heaven and earth. And from that Chazal learn, it's the Mishnah in the sixth parak of Avos, that Avram Avinu himself is a kinyan that Hashem has in the world, right? Well, just like Shamayim v'aretz, Avram Avinu was one who revealed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is konei Shamayim v'aretz. Avraham Avinu is one who, because Malki Tzedek meets Avram Avinu, he says konei Shamayim v'aretz. Right. Malki Tzedek himself was a kohen lekel elyon, the God above. Right. So we're going to analyze this difference, the shift that happened from Malki Tzedek to Avraham Avinu, which was only in a potential shift that reached full actuality by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right. But we'll preface with the simple question. Avraham Avinu, if you want to talk about how he outperformed, Malki Tzedek or Shem ben Noach, I'd tell you very simple. Vayikra b'shem Hashem kel olam. It says he calls out in the name of the God of the world. He went out preaching. Shem ben Noach. These guys didn't go out preaching. They had their yeshiva Shem Bever. If you're interested, come speak to us, and if you're not, that's not our problem. Right? And Avraham Avinu, he goes out and he spreads the gospel, right? And the Rambam brings this in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, and says, in effect, that, you know, in these words, it was out of Avraham's, you know, unmitigated love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he went out preaching. Right? So, no two ways about it. He outperformed shame in love of God. Right? Shame is, he's a righteous person. Why do you go out preaching? But the truth is, you know, this is a pattern. The first one went out preaching was Avraham Avinu. Noach understands that a Malvu is coming to the world. He doesn't go out preaching, you know, make people do tshuva. Right? Now, he was criticized for not davening for them. The Navi calls him, the Malvu is called Ki Mei Noach Zosli. The Navi calls the Malvu Mei Noach. That's because he didn't daven for them. Okay. But it seems that as far as I remember, you know, he's not criticized. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send him out preaching. Now look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send out Avraham Avinu preaching either. First person was actually on a mission from God was Moshe Rabbeinu. First one in history. Look through the Chumash. No one was ever sent to speak in the name of God until Moshe. First one sent. He was sent to speak to Jewish people. So the power. So to be fair to everyone who lived before Yetzias Mitzrayim, God never sent anybody out. Right? But Avraham Avinu took it on voluntarily, and the other tzaddikim didn't take it on. Right? So we can understand that Avraham Avinu was very righteous for taking it on, but we have to understand where they're coming. Why didn't they even try? Because the truth is that they thought it was pointless. Because that is exactly the point. They served Kel Elyon, the God beyond, God above. All right, we've learned, you know, that there is a totem pole of reality. We've had this in Derech Hashem extensively, although tonight we're going to qualify to in what way we mean that. But we know that there's a hierarchy in reality. God is on top of the chain. There are angels beneath him, and there are the stars and the constellations beneath them. And by trickle-down effect, there is a certain degree of a trickle-down effect, and, you know, we're rock bottom. Right? We're rock bottom. Right? And, you know, with that picture of reality, the truth is you have to be a really, really big philosopher to care one hoot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you care about? What's right on top of you? Like the private in the army. Right? He doesn't care about the general. And he doesn't care about the president, even though he knows intellectually that they're the ones who are really, 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 really in charge. He doesn't care. He has to keep Sarge happy. If Sarge is not happy, his life is hell. Right? His whole, right? Everything is just to keep the sergeant that's directly on top of him happy. That's who he, for lack of a better word, worships. He's got to keep him happy. Right? You know, with the totem pole type picture, when you take the totem pole sort of like literally, you know, at face value, you know, idolatry actually makes a lot of sense. All right, there's this God who created it all, but he's on the top of the chain. You know, it's not who I do my business with. All right, I do my business with, you know, the one that's right above me, whether it's my ministering angel, it's my star. That's the one I got to keep happy. All right. So now, you know, in this world of Kel Elyon, God is on top of the chain. So now these, you know, so these tzaddikim who worship Kel Elyon, so they were engaged in a transcendental experience. I mean, they also had a perception that there's all these different levels between us and God. All right, so they, you know, so they're, it's hard to understand because we don't have anything left of their Derech Avoda anymore. But, you know, as the Sfarim explained, it was a very, very transcendental type of thing, trying to ignore and transcend everything that's in between. So it was like a transcendental, otherworldly experience because God is not revealed here. He's not here. And so you go, like, they would meditate, they would fast a lot, they would, trying to connect to the God who's on top of the chain. Right? But here, you know, there's no God. You know, revealed. Revealed. Right? He's on the top of the chain. And the man in the street, he doesn't care about what's on top of the chain. The man in the street cares about, you know, his parnasa. He cares about, you know, tax cuts, whatever. Right? DACA. You know, whatever. Anyone who's not interested, there's no one to talk to, right? Because it's not an issue. It's not on the radar, not on the radar, right? Well, Avraham Avinu, so even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not revealed himself openly in a way of sending him to the people, and he said that you have to get, that's a revolution, you know, that started with Moshe Rabbeinu sending a prophet to speak to the people in the name of God. That never happened before in history, right? But so certain people had Ruach HaKodesh, like Noach had prophecy, and Shem Weber had Ruach HaKodesh. And to them, that was all like a transcendental experience, not an experience here within this world. And Avraham Avinu, he comes, he's making a revolution, right? And, you know, but it was an ideological one. It's not one that he was zocheh to show and demonstrate, because there were no revealed miracles. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't actually send him with a message to the people. But he is fighting for Vayikra B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, the God of the world. Not Kel Elyon. Kel Olam. Right? He is fighting for that. And it comes with a certain philosophical understanding that he had. Right? That the Rambam actually says in the Mor Nevuchim that he saw this in the books of the Chaba people. You know, that was the big cult in the days of Avraham Avinu. Said that, you know, in the libraries in Egypt, they still had, you know, copies, you know, of these manuscripts from Avraham Avinu's days, where, you know, they actually talk about Avraham Avinu, and you hear, it's very interesting, you hear the whole story of Avraham Avinu from his enemy's perspective. Ram says he read these books. Right, it's in... I don't have them anymore, but I'll tell you, the Rambam is in Chelek Gimel Perek Choftes, you know, of the Mor Nevuchim. He says he read these books. The Chava people mention Avraham Avinu, and they mention the debates that they had, and they mention how they put him in a slammer, and they couldn't convince him, and from their perspective, they exiled him. Now, they don't believe in Lech Lecha, they exiled him. You know, they told him, you know, get out of Choram, get out of here, get out of Rakasim, get out. From their perspective, they think that they threw him out, you know. But in the dialogues that they recorded, you know, they were sun worshippers, you know, the people that he debated with. So they don't look at Avram. It's very, very simple. Listen, the sun gives us light. The sun gives us heat. The sun makes things grow. So it's simple, right? You worship the sun. And he says, you know, the Rambam says, he said, "V'hu ana lanu," and he answers us, "Hu kegarzein biyad hachotzev," the sun is nothing more than an axe in the hands of the woodchopper. That was very deep. It's Avraham Avinu saw, you know, but he saw it in his mind's eye, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though there's this whole totem pole of reality, he still maintains a monopoly on all power. He is still Kone Shamayim V'aretz. And then that's, you know, something that he realized, and that realization fueled the tremendous love of Hashem, you know, that Hashem is here also. He's Kone Shamayim, and that's why he also went around preaching, and his message is Hashem Kel Olam, the God of the world. Right, but you know, it's something that, you know, he came to intellectually, you know, and that was his message. Right, that even though there's all these different levels in reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still maintains a monopoly on all power. Nothing happens, even the sun doesn't shine without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not like he's on the top and there's a trickle down. No. Even through the whole totem pole, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. Just like it's not the axe that actually chops the wood, it's the woodchopper who chops the wood. He just passes his energy through the axe. And that's also the sun or any of the celestial bodies. They all have power on loan from God. God maintains a monopoly on all power. And that's what it means. The Gemara in Bracha says that until, from the day that the world was created, until Avraham Avinu, no one ever called HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adnos. Right? And it was after his encounter in stone with Malchus. It says, Adnos Elohim, right? He says, Bama Edaki Rashano, how do I know I'm going to inherit the Eretz Yisrael? Right? We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. Right? Adon, master. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master even here. You know, he's the master of this world. He's not just the master on top. He's not just Kel Elyon. You know, the eye only sees Kel Elyon. The eye sees the hierarchy that there's in reality, that there's the lower and the higher. Right? Avraham Avinu saw that the hierarchy is just a facade. In the depth of it, it's all just divine power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only master. Right, and it's all his power and his gzeira and his orders that are passing through all these different levels. And they're all just like Kalim, you know, and he's the one wielding these Kalim. Right? So that was the idea that he came to. But it's not something that the eye can see. The eye sees the hierarchy. Right? So it's an idea that he understood, right, but he couldn't demonstrate. He couldn't demonstrate, right? So now, when a miracle happens, to the eye, I mean, as the Maharal says this, right? When a miracle happens, you know, you understand that you're breaking rank in the hierarchy, because by the trickle down, so everything starts off with spiritual energy, goes to a lower grade spiritual energy, goes to a lower grade spiritual energy, till it becomes a certain physical type of energy, and then you have the physical natural event, right? And that's what we call Kel Shakai. The Gemara in Chagiga says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Kel Shakai, She'amar lo lamo dai. He decreed on the world that everything has its limits. And that things should go in a certain, trickle-down effect, not go unlimited. And he keeps things in dai. Everything is constrained. Otherwise, things would expand infinitely. Right? So, and that's what causes the trickle-down. Right? A miracle is when there's a bypass. Right, so something from a higher place on the totem pole of reality directly interacts with Earth, and that's when the supernatural happens. That's where there's like an override, a jump. And that we're sort of getting to, gave it away, jump. Right, we're going to get there soon. Skip. Right, but that's when a miracle happens. Right, but as we see, Avraham Avinu did not merit to do any miracles for anybody. He was just talking pure seichel. He had an idea that he believed in, and he tried to teach it intellectually, but he couldn't demonstrate it. Right? The world wasn't ready yet. Now, part of the function of the world not being ready yet explains, we spoke about this question many times, and there's many different answers. And without backtracking, on any answer that we previously gave to this question, why did not HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Torah to the Avos? Right, they would have wanted to have it. Right, Golo Mitzvah Vosu Mishenu Mitzvah. We know that they all kept the Torah voluntarily. They would have loved to have it, and God withheld goodness. Why? Right? Truth is, the world wasn't ready. As we're going to explain, it wasn't possible to give Torah yet. Now, there's another answer to this question, which we spoke out previously, that Torah is only a nation is big enough to hold the Torah. Because the Torah is a bris olam. It's forever and ever. So a nation is a corporate entity that includes all generations. You can't make a bris olam with individuals. We spoke about that answer previously. It's an answer my Rosh Yeshiva Yaakov Warmer used to give. But there's another answer to that question. Equally as true, the world couldn't handle the Torah. Right? And I'll explain why. Right? Because Torah is at the top of the totem pole of reality. We know Istako Bo Raiso Bora Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first envisioned the Torah, and then after he envisioned the Torah, he created the rest of reality, even the angels. Everything is created from the Torah. It's on the top of the totem pole. It doesn't belong down here. So whatever the tzaddikim, like Avraham Avinu and Noach figured out about Torah, they figured out by trickle down. You have to understand, Matan Torah was an amazing, cosmos warping experience of taking the highest thing in reality and forcing it down to earth. And the world wasn't ready for that yet. We had to go through Yetzias Mitzrayim first, as we're going to explain. So the Avraham Avinu lives in a world where people only see Kel Elyon, and he believes, you know, in Kone Shamayim Varetz, he believes in the Shem Adnus, that God is the master, even down here on earth, everything belongs to him, he maintains a monopoly on all power. He believes in it, but he can't demonstrate it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also says, Hiftachti v'lo kiyamti, I did not fulfill my promise to Avraham Avinu in his own days, because the world wasn't ready for it yet. But Yetzias Mitzrayim is a rule breaker. It's a rank breaker, a total rank breaker. Right? What does HaKadosh says? L'man teida ki'em ka'ashem elokeinu. When Paro, you know, in contrast to when Moshe Rabbeinu first goes to Paro. Right? So Moshe says, Elokei Avrim Shlachani. Right, you know, the God of the Hebrews sent me. And Paro says something ridiculous. Lo yadati es Hashem. I never heard of the guy. Never heard of Hashem. Never heard of the guy. Right? And now, in contrast to that, you have over and over the mouth, Ba'avursa ha'mai l'man haros chaskochi l'man saper shmi b'chola oretz. You know what? In contrast to that, in course of Makkos, Paro's already ready to give him. Said, no, we're going to do more Makkos. L'man saper shmi b'chola oretz. Right? And throughout earth, down here, everyone's going to know my name. I'm going to reveal my divine name on earth. L'man teir, you said, lo yadat Hashem. You know, he says, L'man teida kin kashem okay. Now you're going to know. There's none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our God. Right? L'man tesaper, b'zav, you know, it's everything is L'man tesaper. And Shmi, b'kerev ha'oretz. My name in the midst of the earth. Right? That's what's changing over here. Right? And the miracles, right? All miracles, you know, the beginning of the miracle is the idea of bypass. Right? We're breaking the chain of command because the way that the energy filters down, it starts from powerful spirit energy that gets, for lack of a better word, diluted, until at the bottom, it's, you know, when it reaches earth, it's the physical energies, you know, of gravity and the laws of chemistry, biology, and physics. Miracles is override, breaking the rank. Right? Break rank. Right? And all the miracles are for a person. L'man saper shmi. I want my name revealed down here. It should be just as revealed. Everyone should know God on earth just as much as angels know God in heaven. Right? The divine name, which is the Shekhinah, the divine presence. It's not going to be in heaven anymore. It's going to be on earth just as much as it's in heaven. And we're going to bring to full revelation, but not just revelation, but fruition. Right? What Avraham Avinu believed in. He believed in it. You know, what Avraham Avinu believed in, Moshe Rabbeinu displayed. Avraham Avinu got the promise. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who delivers. But the delivery is l'man saper shmi. It's not just that stam there is a God, you know, but to put the divine presence that was in heaven, in the highest heavens. We say in Olenu Ushchinas Uzo, Ushchina Begovei Meromim is in the highest places. Now we want Ushachanti Besocham, right? God should dwell in us. That Shechina, which is Begovei Meromim, should be down on earth. So, you know, what's happening with Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, which, you know, as we've mentioned before in previous years, you know, the Sfarim say Yetziat Meitzarim, we're breaking the boundaries. And the breaking of boundaries is not just a little bit more, going a little bit over the top. No. There's a rewiring of reality over here. We're going to break rank in the totem pole of reality, and there's going to be a jump. It's not going to go step by step. There's going to be a jump from the highest heavens all the way down to earth. Right? So now, you know where this was done, in the most pronounced way, right, and is irrevocably that way, thanks to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah. And that's what it says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, Hashem kinan Har Sinai, the Torah, which was the highest in the highest heavens, right, and the so high that even the angels wanted for themselves, was forced to earth. And as a result, next step is building the Mishkan, because now the divine presence is on earth. But earth wouldn't be able to take it if not for Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, the earth wouldn't have the kalim to hold it. Earth had to be conditioned. Right? Yetzias Mitzrayim was reconditioning the whole world. And the 10 makos were parallel to the 10 ma'amoros that the world was created with, as far as say, Eser makos, 10 miracles, parallel to the Asar ma'amor shenivra ben ha'olam. Right? And that's what the Mishnah itself in Ovos over there makes a parallel. It goes through 10 ma'amoros, the 10 makos, and it was another 10 makos alayam. It was continuing the process. Right? It was processing the world to make the world, you know, changing the nature of the world, that the world now could be able to hold the Torah when the Torah comes down. Otherwise, the Torah, you know, bring down the Torah would recoil right back to heaven. The world wouldn't have a grasp on the Torah if not for the reconditioning of what went on in Mitzrayim. Right? So, remind me, we have to get back to what this all means to the individual. How people changed also. People changed, right? But first let's talk about how the world changed. We'll talk about how people changed in a perfectly parallel manner. Right? But now you can understand, right, what it means that Pesach is called a jump. You know, we ask, why do we have to jump? Jump, yeah, jump, you know, just go around. You hit the Jew house, just, well, don't jump, you know, go around. Yeah. No, that's a very big idea, right? Because what's being done with Pesach is a jump. We're breaking rank from the regular flow of reality from top to bottom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power is going to be directly revealed here on earth. He's going to jump over all those levels. And the jumping over the Jewish people was parallel to the idea of jumping over all those levels in reality, you know, from his unique Madrega right down to earth. Right? And now you can understand, before we get into, you know, resolving it with the Pasuk, but now you can understand just the idea. We asked, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do it? B'chvodo ba'atzmo. Right? Ve'etz Hashem Mitzrayim. Lo yedei ma'ach ve'ei sarach ve'lo yedei ha'shalech HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo ba'atzmo. No, because Yetzias wasn't just about a pragmatic thing of getting the Jews out of slavery. I mean, the whole thing was unnecessary. It would just be an issue about, he could have just teleported them out of Mitzrayim. We've just not have to done the whole Eser Makos. But no, he wanted the Eser Makos. And even when Paro is willing to give in after 5 Makos, he hardens his heart, because I got to bring more. Leman Saper Shmi B'chol Arts, because the world's being rewired. Those miracles were rewiring the whole world. Right? You know, revealing that the chain, the hierarchy, is just a facade. And, you know, God is really maintains a monopoly on all power. And, you know, these different levels that seemingly look, they're not really trickle-down. They're conductors. They're not trickle-down, they're conductors. But to reveal that, he wants to interact directly with the world. And that's, I'm doing it directly. Because he has to recondition the world with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's getting the world out of its boundaries and out of its tunnel vision, you know, getting the world, breaking the world out of, you know, the perception of Kel Elyon, breaking the world out of there, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself directly can interact with earth, because that's exactly what happens on a permanent basis from Matan Torah and onwards. God's Torah is right here in our hands. Lo b'shamayim hi. We have God's wisdom right here with us. We have God's divine presence right here with us. And Yetzias Mitzrayim was to, you know, condition the world for that. Now there's a, you know, to just further appreciate the cosmic benefits of this. When the world was stuck in this perception of Kel Elyon, the world was going nowhere. Because in this hierarchy, you know, of, you know, levels, right? In that hierarchy of top and bottom, there's no real, there's no cosmic progress. I'll explain to you, all right? So let's say, there's, let's say, a corporation, right? There's the big boss, middle management, you know, and then the regular employees, right? You know, everyone's stuck on their level, right? So now they say, so some guy gets a promotion, right? Fine, so he replaced someone or he sabotaged someone's work and got that promotion, but the corporation stays the same. So ever, so you shift up one level, shift up another level, but you're locked in this totem pole, right? So you move the pieces around, but it's still the same totem pole. It's the same corporate structure. You know, corporation's not getting any better. It is what it is. It's like there's a book, Once Upon a Shtetl, from Chaim Shapiro, Zichron Livracha. So he tells a story, you know, that communist agents used to come to Poland, where he lived, to come, you know, convince people to move to Russia, the workman's paradise. He lived in Lomža. These communist agents were there and told him about, you know, you people, you all live in basements. You live in basements. You're the oppressed proletariat. So some wise Jewish kid asks, you must not have basements in Russia. Of course we have basements in Russia. I mean, in Russia you have everything. He tells another story parenthetically that someone asked him if, you know, they have oranges in Russia. Of course, there's a very large orange factory in Minsk, right? Right. So this company says, you must not have basements in Russia. He says, okay, of course we have basements. So they must be uninhabited. Of course they're inhabited. Why are we? So let me get this straight. You're saying, we're terrible, we're downtrodden because we lived in basements. Who lives in the basements in Russia? So the guy throws that, no, we put the rich people in the basements. The poor people live on top, right? Right, but that's a good description of what, in the totem pole model, right? Okay, so, you sabotage someone's work, he gets a demotion, you get a promotion, but it's still the same, everyone's sort of stuck where he is, may can only move one step up, and globally, cosmically, nothing changes, right? Globally, nothing changes, right? But when you understand that really all the madrigos are interconnected and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power flowing through all of them, right? So now the world could evolve and, progress, because you're not just getting from the level right on top of you. You really could, if you do enough tefillah and enough avoda, you could draw from the highest level all the way down. Right? If everything's stuck in tiers, the world's never going to evolve. And the most you can ever hope for is just to move to the tier directly above you. Right? But you understand that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's everywhere, and these different madrigas are just a facade. So the world could evolve, and you could draw power, spiritual power, not just from the level directly, but you could draw spiritual power like we do with the Torah. We draw power from the highest heavens and cause the world to develop and to evolve into utopia. Right? The world was going nowhere before Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it was stuck in this, pyramid structure of tier, 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 tier. Right? And by this breaking of the rank, now we open up the possibility of importing energies, right, so the world could, reach a higher level, like we are doing with our Torah and mitzvahs. That's exactly what we're doing. We're causing the world to evolve and become, start gradually become Olam Haba. Right. Now, so the same thing is with the individual. All right, we learned, in Derech Hashem, and it's more explained in Nefesh HaChaim. We have a totem pole also. We have our body, at the base. We have the level called Nefesh that interacts with the body. We have the level of Ruach that's above. The Nefesh interacts with the Nefesh, which interacts with the body, and you have the Neshama above, which interacts with the Ruach, which interacts with the Nefesh, which interacts with the body, right? Totem pole, right? And in that totem pole, right? So, theoretically, all the body should ever get is just trickle down, enough to keep it alive, enough to keep it animate, but not get that spiritual power that there is in the Neshama, But no. That all changed. That all changed with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, Adam HaRishon was on that level, but he lost it with the Chet Eitz Hadas. But it says, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. He had his neshama breathed directly to Vayedam LeNefesh Chaya. And man became a living creature because of his neshama. He had the power of his neshama in his body, not just by trickle down. He had it mamish inside his body. And therefore, Nefesh Chaya says, Unkos Ruach Memala, a speaking spirit. He had the power of speech. You have to realize what speech really is meant to be. It's not the way we use it. Speech is not the way we use it. It's not the way humanity used it. All right? Speech is supposed to be a tremendous gift, that ideas that come from the spiritual realm, right, you know, get put into words. The neshama is supposed to be an antenna that picks up divinity, and that divinity gets put in the guise of words, and we put in words, that's the way we can understand it, even within a body, because we put it into words, that's how we could teach it to others. But speech is for the purpose of capturing ideas. It's not like, you know, the animals have their mating calls and we just have, you know, the lines that, you know, they say work that never worked, you know, but they, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's, you know, speech is not for pragmatic survival. The animals don't have speech and they could communicate with each other, you know, mating calls or warn each other of danger or distress. And, you know, that's all what speech is. We don't understand what speech is all about. You know, speech is not like a more sophisticated form of animal sounds. Speech is supposed to be, you know, a two-way street, that we can grasp heavenly ideas and put them into words and bring, you know, apprehend it and take the concepts and put them into words. And that's how we could, you know, even put it inside our physical brains, because we put it into words, and that's how we could teach it to others. And it goes the other way also. Another thing that we do with speech is tefillah. And tefillah is bottom up. We send these words to heaven. Now, that's the power of speech. That's the real power of speech. But when everything was locked in the totem pole, right? So people spoke, but they spoke the way animals speak. You know, just our speech is more sophisticated, right? But it's just like, you know, all, you know, pragmatic stuff, right? You know, what they do with the animal, what they do with body motions and with sounds, we use words for it, but that's just such a cheapening of what speech is supposed to be. A speech is for apprehending Divrei Torah. And the neshama is supposed to be an antenna that transmits that idea to the body. And it gets into the form of words, concepts into words, as a form of, that energy, ideas, from the realm of ideas, gets into, word form, so it could be absorbed and internalized within the body. Just like parallel to the divine presence being on earth. And vice versa, you know, we could send words all the way to heaven. Now, Kashu Misavel Tfilas and Shalikim. You know, Tfilas is not just nagging a Kashu for your needs. It's their spiritual power in Tfilas. That Kashu wants it. And sometimes he sends you needs to stimulate you davening. That's the power of speech that comes from the neshama. It doesn't come from the brain. And that's Vayipach Bap of Nishmas Chaim. But that was all sealed off when everything was locked into its level. So all we got from the neshama was trickle down. So it gave us life and it gave us intelligence. And we got the etzem spiritual power of the neshama. But this is all changed by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke the junk. And there was a breaking of the chain, which shows that the chain is not real, is not what it looks like. The chain is a conductor, not, you know, separate levels that you get trickle down. It's a conductor that, you know, you could get something totally unmitigated directly from the highest level. But it had to be demonstrated, it had to be shown, it had to be, you know, this override. And that's how people changed. Right? And now that's what it means to do something l'shem shamayim. We go back to that Rashi. Right, in the Rashi that says, so it's called Pesach, Kosh who jumps. So you also do kol avodosav l'shem shamayim derech dilug v'kvitza. You also do everything l'shem shamayim, skipping. Because the truth is like this, pragmatically, you do something for its immediate benefit. You eat, because you're hungry, right? And, and you sleep because you're tired, right? And, you know, and you're just thinking the next step. You're always just thinking the next step. You're only thinking one step ahead. Right? All right? But we're taught kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Everything should be that you do is be shamayim. You know, and as the Rambam explains to us, as do all the Sifrei Musar that, you know, basically copied from him, you should really eat, so you should be healthy, so you should be able to serve Hashem. You should rest, so you should be also healthy, be able to serve Hashem, and everything you do, because it pertains. So that's called not thinking the next step. That's a jump. Jump to ultimate purpose. That's a jump. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over all the levels for your sake. Also, when you eat, don't think the next step of satisfying hunger. Think 10 steps ahead of how somehow it's all l'shem shamayim. And that's the midah k'neged midah. Right? Just like he jumped over all the steps for your sake. Right? You also, whatever you do in life, don't think just the next step. Think way ahead of how some type of avodas Hashem comes out of it. Right? Jump. And if you can't make that jump, there's no way to connect it, then don't do it. Right? Jump ahead. In your mind, jump ahead of how somehow it's l'shem shamayim. That's the deal for pizza. That's what we have to do, mida k'neged mida. He jumped through all the levels of reality for our sake. Right? We also, in everything that we do, not just think the next step, the immediate next step, the immediate benefit, the immediate gratification. Think 10 steps ahead of how, or even 100 steps ahead if necessary, of how it somehow is l'shem shamayim. And if you can't figure it out, how it's l'shem shamayim, then don't do it. Right? Just parallel to what he did for you. Right. So now with this, we go now full circle and go back to understanding why Moshe Rabbeinu, right, had to reach the level of master prophet for the purpose, not just for Matan Torah, but for the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about conditioning the world to make the world ready for Matan Torah. The world had to be readjusted. We had to be readjusted. That just like what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for the world, he broke through all the steps. He also, for us, he broke through all the steps that there are between our neshama and our guf. You know, like we learned many times, man is a mini universe, but only Am Yisrael is that mini universe, right? And so just like he broke through all the steps between the highest heavens, you know, where his unique level, down to earth, so also in the individual, the Jews, right? He broke the gap between our neshama and our guf, and that's called he liberated the dibur. He liberated the speech. Then now that we could use the power of speech for what it was meant for, that should capture divrei Torah from the highest heavens. Right? Right? The change they made to reality is a change also made internally, but that was dafka for Am Yisrael. And that's what the famous Chazal, which everyone's heard, that all the makos that happened to Mitzrayim were negof leMitzrayim v'refua leYisrael. For everything, you know, for the Egyptians it was pure pain because we were breaking their world order, right? But for every Jew, the Jews got spiritual energy for each one of the Eser makos. The world was changing, and we were changing. We were changing with it, and we were changing that it was, you know, to break the distance between the neshama and the guf, right? And that's called that it liberated our speech. That now man on earth could speak Divrei Torah. Not just Dvorim B'Teil. Speak Divrei Torah and speak tefillah that could be heard and reach the highest heavens. It's called the liberation of the power of speech that comes from the Neshama. And so now Moshe Rabbeinu's level of master prophet was necessary for this process. Because he needed that level equally, just like he needed that level, right, to bring Torah to earth. Yetzias Mitzrayim is really a prelude for that. It's reconditioning the world for that great jump. The world had to be reconditioned that it could receive a Torah from the highest heavens down to earth, and it'll stick. Right? But the world had to be reconditioned. We had to be reconditioned. We and the world had to be reconditioned. That was the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, getting us out of the blocks, getting us out of the boundaries. The boundaries between the levels, that Meitzarim had to be broken. You had to break through all that. Open up the gaps, open up the boundaries between us and our neshama, open up the boundaries between the physical world and the higher realms. And Moshe Rabbeinu needed that power. And now that power is God's power. Because everyone should have immediately said, everyone knows that the way Chazal coined Moshe Rabbeinu's unique level of master prophet, Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono. The divine presence speaks through his mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu is higher than the level of an angel. He's God's representative, mamish. He represents God. So therefore, that pasuk Vayishlach Malach Vayotzei Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, who was that Malach? Moshe. Rashi says it on the spot because the Nevi'im are called Malachim because they're messengers. Malach literally means messenger. Vayishlach Malach Vayotzei Mitzrayim refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, and sink it, you know, tweak it with the Rambam. Hilchos Avos Kohanim that he was on the level of master prophet already for Yetzias Mitzrayim. He was already on the level of Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono. He was already on God's words in his mouth. So Moshe Rabbeinu going to Mitzrayim is not a contradiction. That's called it's all being done directly from Hashem, because that's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he is a conduit of Hashem's energy directly, panim b'panim. He speaks to Hashem face to face. And that was necessary already for Yetzias Mitzrayim, because everything that happened in Mitzrayim was conditioning the world and conditioning the nature of the Jewish people to be ready for the permanent shift of Matan Torah. Right? And it's only because of Yetzias Mitzrayim that Torah sticks. Because, you know, we fell in level and we did the golden calf, right? And then we did, you know, so even though God forgave us and gave us the Mishkan, you know, but we screwed that up also. And we have Chorban HaBayis. You would think that Torah should recoil back to heaven. So the Ramchal says this, you know, that no, there's no Yetzias Mitzrayim changed reality permanently, that the world can never regress to a state of total godlessness, and hence can never, and as a function of that, can never regress to a state where there's like no Torah. The Torah, once it was came to earth, it sticks. But that's all thanks to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why everything is Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. That's why even Shabbos, we say in Kiddush, Ki Yom Tchil Mikrosh Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Right? In the second version of Aser Sibris, you know, it says, Shomer Shion Shalachal, V'zachar Tekever Es Mitzrayim. You know, it talks about you keep Shabbos because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because if not for Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kedusha would have no place in this world. There would be no place for Shabbos in this world. Yetzias Mitzrayim is changed the world that it could be a base to hold Kedusha. And that means that as far as we regress, we'll never regress, you know, pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim. Permanent change in the cosmos that has been conditioned that Leman Saper Shmi Bechorz, that God's name is on earth, and as a function of that, that's why Shabbos sticks. That's why Torah sticks. That's why everyone, you know, all humanity has heard of God. They agree with God. They don't disagree with God. Everyone's heard of God. That is the permanent change that Yetzias Mitzrayim made. That's the jump. And we have to reciprocate Mida Keneged Mida, and in everything that we do, try to jump ahead and figure out how it could be done, L'shem Shemayim. All right, thank you very much.